Well, joining us for his weekly chat, and that is Mr. Ken Bates. Hello, KB.
Good morning, Darren.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. The sun's shining. Beautiful. The yachts are riding at anchor. Meanwhile, I was here this morning in poor New Zealand. I've had a month rain in one day.
Really?
Something out of kilter.
Well, for once, it's actually like
I think
nice.
I think it's called FIFA weather.
Changeable. we've obviously got plenty to talk about in regards to FIFA and Sepp Blatter, and we're gonna come on to that. But first of all, I believe you want to talk a bit about Leeds United and the current financial situation at Elland Road.
Well, it's interesting to read that Massimo's stating his target is the Champions League, not the Premier League. Of course, the answer, I think, is one thing at a time. And also, it was amazing that he revealed that when he moved in 15 months ago, he had to put £5 million in to keep the club going. Of course, we knew that by the end of last season, we lost £22 million. That was the second time, because I lost £22 million in 2013. Now, we said the forecast is close to break even. Thank goodness. Wage bill nearly 21 million pages. It was 12 under my chairmanship. So I don't know what Mr. Hagan, Mr. Patel, Mr. Hisham were doing with the money. Perhaps that's why they couldn't pay their bills. Anyway, on the other hand, now Mr. Massimo Cellino settled back into the reins. There's some amazing information coming out, which fans will find very interesting. Apparently now, £18 million, I repeat that, £18 million have been put into the Leeds United Football Club by way of new shares. £6.5 million of it was debt that's been converted to shares. And new shares for £11.5 million for cash also been put in. So Leeds United balance sheet is now £18 million stronger than it was until recently. Now, who's put it in? We don't know. And that won't, unless the club likes to make an announcement and tell the fans, won't know until they have to file their annual return, which is many months away yet. But the interesting thing is that I got a message yesterday. Apparently Sport Capital, which you remember is a David Hay company, lent Leeds United £1.5 million. Part of it being repaid. But I understand, and I must confess it's only rumour, then so many rumours are swirling around Leeds United, you cannot accept it or discount it. This latest one is the GFH, somehow in there, there's some conversion rights, and their plan is to try and regain control of Leeds United. Now, well, that's true, I do not know. There's interest in £6.5 million converted to shares. Who's converted it? And apparently, David Hay, allegedly, has some loans which are convertible into shares. And if asked to do so, he would be happy to be ensured that's done to help Massimo Cellino if he's having a struggle with GFH. And when I spoke to him earlier this week, shall I just say he didn't speak very well of GFH, which suggests there's something going on behind the back scenes, because as you know, or listeners and readers will know, that they claimed to put £20 million into Leeds, and it was turned into two-term loans, £10 million each. But as Massimo said to me, where did they put the £20 million in? I can't find it. So it may be something like, for example, the 3.5 million management charge they put in to the accounts. Just for Mr. Patel coming over and trying to stop us drinking on match days. And generally causing havoc. Destroying the first-class management team behind the scenes that we've been built up over the previous 8 years. That's another story. So where is this money, alleged money, come from? Well, it's not alleged money, got to correct that, because, of course, it's been filed at company's house, had it checked out. So the money is definitely in. So whereas there were 8.5 million issued shares, 8.5 million cash, 4.5 million shares, because Massimo's first 4 million was put in at £2 a share. So it's 4.5 million shares, plus the 18, now means 22.5 million shares issued, with 26.5 million pounds of the cash, including the share premium account, i.e. the money that was put in at £2. Shares bought at £2 a share, not £1 a share. So, you know, curiouser and curiouser. And meanwhile, of course, an interesting phone call yesterday from the gentleman who's running Leeds Fans LLP, who was seeking for information. And I asked him how he was getting on, and he was quite positive. And I said, well, how much have you raised? At which stage he got a bit cagey. And I said, look, I'm sure that Radio Yorkshire would be very happy to support you and promote your campaign, but it's got to be based on facts. And I said, it's a long way between somebody promising money and actually putting it in. I said, now, if you're reluctant to tell us or the public of your progress, then unfortunately the conclusion will be drawn that you're not doing very well. To which he responded, when we sit down and negotiate with the people who own the shares, then we will reveal. I said, yes, but the problem is, it's no good saying you will reveal it, and then when the would-be guy on the other side of the table asks it, how much have you got in cash? And then you start talking about promises and commitments. They would just laugh and end the meeting. I said, because I had 8 years of that. In fact, I said to him, without being unkind, can you tell me the last Yorkshireman that invested or loaned on a permanent long-term basis any money into Leeds United? He couldn't. I couldn't think of any. I remember Paul Sykes coming to see me, his invitation, tell me what a great Leeds United fan he was. And since he was the richest man in Yorkshire, allegedly, I invited him to join me in a partnership and put some money into Leeds. And he said no. I said, well, why not? He said, I don't need the aggravation. I respect my privacy. And of course, Steve Parkin was going to invest money in Leeds. In fact, he went out to Dubai to buy the club. But it fell through. There are differing accounts of those meetings, which it's suffice to say he didn't proceed. Then Mr. Farland running around, who's, remember, delightfully vague, and one or two other syndicates. But there's never any actual money come forward. The money's been put into Leeds. My syndicate put £30 million into Leeds. And yes, if you go through the accounts, you can find out when it came in, where it went, how it's spent. GFH put some money into Leeds, I don't know how much. And they're Arabs. And this Massimo Cellino has put seems to put some money into these. He's Italian. But there's nobody with a Yorkshire accent who's done it. So my message is to Leeds fans LLP, you've either got to be more open, then we'll be delighted to support you in your campaign, or you have to accept that you lack credibility. Which brings us back to what the hell's happening down the road. Somebody recently said that Red Bull were more active than they'd admitted. But that came from a source in the BBC, so whether that can be relied as reliable or not, I don't know. It's up, maybe the BBC would like to expand on that suggested statement. But meanwhile, there would appear to be, to sum up, 22.5 million shares now issued in Leeds, comparable to £500,000 share capital Leeds United, which we started. They've got 22.5 million, plus 20, and another £4 million in share premium account. So it looks as if the club is well capitalised now. So what would be nice for the fans going forward, have all these uncertainties and doubts put to rest by a clear statement from Massimo. And then, of course, also what he also needs to do is get on and sort out his outstanding legal cases, some which I gather this week he didn't even know about, and maybe find one firm of lawyers and stick with them. Because, first of all, Leeds were using GFH, who ran up a bill of over £500,000 on behalf of Leeds United in fighting my cessation as president, which, after mediation, which Massimo confirmed and agreed and was settled, I got my costs back. We have our live commentary, we have our box, we have our advert, and Leeds United via GFH was left with a bill of £600,000. So they went. Then Massimo then brought in a firm called, a guy called Morales, who worked at Michelin Durea. And he got involved briefly. Then he left to start his own business. He carried on being involved. All of a sudden he disappeared. And now I see the last week we have a Wakefield firm of solicitors who have now taken over. And you'd think they'd have had the courtesy to write to inform the other parties in the actions. They didn't, they went straight to court. So that's not very friendly, not very helpful to partners. I should tell you that when the sale went through to GFH, I personally wanted that Leeds United would not lose any money net over the outstanding court cases, provided, of course, that we fought them all. The first one was a great success. We beat West Yorkshire Police, and we'll tell you about that a bit more later. We got 1.3 million. There was another claim for 300,000, which we'd definitely have won. In fact, the cost was being indemnified by the Football League. And some idiot, I don't know who it was, I think he's still in GFH, so I don't know, decided not to proceed with the case. And there's £300,000 there for the taking. Then there was another case, Levy, Ford and Warren. And because of Leeds United's terrible credit record, because of GFH, the other side got an order for £150,000-£200,000 to be paid into court as security for costs. And GFH refused to do it. So they said, I did it. So I told them, get stuffed. So Ford and Warren got judgment by default. And Massimo then had to pay their costs. there's three cases. In Jersey, case against Mr. Weston was one. Still been dragging on, but the good news is I think he's played his last card on getting postponements and delays, and I'm told now that the case has definitely been set down hearing in July. No ifs, no buts, and it'll go ahead in his absence if necessary. So I'm informed by the Leeds lawyers. And that it's only a question of how much. On the case, that £190,000 should not have been taken, should have been handed over to Leeds United. That was season ticket money. And on the costs, so it's only a question of how much. And how long before we collect it. So, well, it was there. Then we got the Western Bible case. So whatever happens, Leeds United are ahead of the game. But surely it makes sense for Chileno to turn his attention to those matters, get them resolved, so we look ahead to the new season, the new future, new manager, new chief executive. As far as I can see, new everything else. I'll revert now to the West Yorkshire Police case. When the Tory government cut back on the police, the now defunct ACPO, Association of Chief Police Officers, unelected, self-appointed, no legal standing, sent a message round to all the chief police officers saying, you know, we're having cutbacks on funding, but football's got plenty of money, hit them hard. And that was, of course, cause of the court case, because West Yorkshire Police overcharged us. They tried to do everything. For example, the terrorists said, not only are we going to charge you for policemen inside the ground, we're going to charge you for monitoring the administering or controlling or supervising areas outside the ground under your control. In fact, they slipped up because on one occasion they tried to charge him for policing the bus park, bus and coach park, that realised was owned by the council. But the clause is outside the ground for the sole use of and the control of the club. Now, the second case was because the police were assembling their men, their constables, in the area around the Billy Bremner statue, claiming that it was controlled within the ownership of Leeds United and solely for Leeds United fans. Well, of course, it's not true, because as anybody knows, Ellen comes round and round on the match days. It's a public thoroughfare where people get off the buses, walk through past the Billy Bremner statue, down past the East End, under the railway bridge to go to wherever they go on the other side. So it's a public thoroughfare. So Leeds United shouldn't pay for that policing, because it's not closed off during match days. People who have nothing to do with the football match and have nothing to do with Leeds United continue to use it as a shortcut. So it's a public thoroughfare. And that was the case. That was the second case. And it's such an important point of principle for all football clubs. That's why the league is going to pay the costs. And somebody decided not to proceed. So apart from the £300,000 that the club didn't get, which they should have done, in refunded excessive police costs, they, Leeds United, presumably, unless they've been renegotiated since, will be charged for that next season, which is totally unfair. Because it comes out of fans' ticket money, therefore means less money for fans' facilities, players, wages, transfer fees. So, curiouser and curiouser, and much going on.
We're talking about lots going on, KB, and we turn our attention to FIFA, and the news is that's broken today that the former FIFA vice president Jack Warner has claimed he knows why Sepp Blatter resigned and says he's got an avalanche of evidence regarding corruption at the sport's governing body. And just the story just gets worse and worse for FIFA, worse and worse for Sepp Blatter. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a very funny, it's a small world. When I lived in the British Virgin Islands during the big development, 66 or 70, I had a very able PA. She was an Indian, she was a Trinidadian Indian lady, very formidable. And we've kept in touch ever since. She's had illnesses and she's had cancer and blah, blah, blah. But we've kept in touch. And she knew Warner. So therefore, when we're talking about other things, Warner's name came up and she told me a little insight. And he said he was very popular in Trinidad because he always had plenty of money to fund any projects that were needed. Internet school wanted a football ground or stadium, no problem. As president of Trinidad FA and CONCACAF, funds are already freely available. So that's why it became very popular. And it helped his political career as well. But it's been suspected for a long time that little fiefdom was funded by FIFA in return for the fact that all the CONCACAF votes went to Blatter. So I'm not surprised about that at all. And then going back even further, I was on the committee that was fighting for the English FA's World Cup bid. In the process of it, I met Chuck Blazer, who's the American man who's now, in effect, turned the equivalent of Queen's evidence. I think done a plea bargain, admitted guilty and blah, blah, blah. Then he became a supergrass, wired up with recordings of conversations taking place. And I must say I had reservations about the man then. There was just something about him. But you now have a situation, of course, where two men are singing, like canaries, apologies to Norwich City, and there are more to come. But I've been campaigning against FIFA and Blatter when I was back at Chelsea. I was saying then that we should pull out of the World Cup, that UEFA should break away from FIFA. UEFA didn't need FIFA. It should break away from the World Cup. And I'm saying now that UEFA, even now, should start an alternative World Cup in 2018 and 2022. Not only do we boycott the FIFA World Cup, we start our own. I gather World Cup name has been, registered, so you can't copyright it. But we know how we could call it the European and wider competition, and we could invite Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, America, and of course now all the South American people who now have their eyes open. So we don't need FIFA. You've already got the sponsors threatening to pull out. If there are no European countries in the World Cup, how much do you think the world TV companies would be paying for coverage? And without that, FIFA would be nothing. I've said before, my disgust, because I go to South Africa regularly, I've done for 40-odd years, I said then my disgust of seeing the money that was wasted in the South African World Cup. And there's so much poverty there, so much still needed to be done. And also, if you think about it, FIFA has so many billions. It's actually possible, I doubt it is, actually just possible that Blatter didn't know about the £10 million going as a bribe via FIFA. Because in FIFA's eyes, £10 million is equivalent to a petty cash box, which is run by the Office Junior. These people have billions sloshing about, billions, and accountable to nobody. And the real reason why, I believe, may be wrong, but I believe, the real reason why Blatter didn't resign and clung on to office, because he didn't leave. Because the moment he goes, everything will be blown apart, all the reports will come out, including the one that fellow Garcia wrote, and they redacted and accepted and never published. I mean, Blatter got in power last time by saying he was going to modernise FIFA. He'd done nothing. He'd read something else and said he's never flown on a scheduled airline for 40 years. That's money that could be promoting, helping and improving soccer and kids' welfare all around the world. Sure, all the African nations voted for him to be said president. Sure, because loads of money's gone to African FAs. But how much of it has gone down to the grassroots? How much has got lost on the way? That's the question. And as I've said, the reason why he's hanging on is he needs enough time to destroy the files. And the other thing, 400 staff gave him a standing ovation. Jesus, what are they all doing? 400? Blimey, I'd like 3 months in there to modernise it. Mind you, took a lot of other people. So, thank God he's not gone yet. Thank God he's going. Thank God the bubble's burst. But I believe there's an awful lot to come out yet. And what we should do is giving credit to investigative journalists like Jennings of the Sunday Times, who was banned from going to press conferences because he asked too many awkward questions, and because now he's been proved right. One last thing is, I see the Mr. Danny Cohen, the head honcho of the BBC, is complaining bitterly that any more cuts to his budgets, they have to cut down on content. Well, some people might say that he'd done it already with a number of repeats. Living in Monaco, we watch the repeats regularly. They're far more numerous than fresh ones. But, shouldn't he start cutting, if he wants to start cutting, put a stop to all the overblown enterprises and inspirations they've had? Remember they wasted £100 million on some IT scheme. It was so bad they gave it up. Then they built the huge Salford headquarters, which some people are still refusing to go up to. And then when they switched something to Glasgow, they used to fly the people up to participate there. And they've also refurbished the original headquarters. Money being wasted, and also the money that people are being paid. Ridiculous. Of course, the argument is, if we don't pay those kind of money, we won't get the best people. Well, I think some might sound good, and they say, you haven't got the best people, you've got some of the worst people. The BBC Trust are useless. There are too many middle management being paid far too much, and far too much money being spent on the wrong things. Meanwhile, their football coverage is now minute, and they're copying out of many of the others. Well, they're no longer a major player in sport, but they used to be. And if they want to save some money, they've got two TV channels, one Scottish speaking and one Welsh speaking. Interesting to know the listening figures there. can save 10, 15 million by bossing those two. We are the United Kingdom, and our language is English. Oh, and another thing they could save, when I'm sitting in my Cape Town hotel watching BBC World News, listening to the share prices on the Bombay Stock Exchange. What the hell are BBC licence payers, or more importantly, the English taxpayers, paying for that? Oh, and what they haven't told you is when I was in Portofino last week to avoid the Grand Prix, I was watching BBC World News there. And what do? They advertise. Some advertising. Fascinating to see the people advertise on the BBC outside UK, even though apparently in their charter they're not allowed to take advertising. Even branded products. That was the excuse they used to screw the Football League for shirt advertising for years. So what we really want to do is a shake-up of the BBC, but I gather Mr. Whittingdale, who's now head of the Culture Media Sport Committee, is also in charge of the BBC's review. And they're negotiating their new charter this year, and also the new payments. And we've got to find money to cut our benefit. Well, one of the things to do is cut the BBC. What would be a good idea, actually, would be to abolish the licence fee completely, because after all the surveillance vans and the collection costs and the all the people don't pay their licence fees, I suppose there'd be a great loss anyway. So perhaps we should allow the BBC then to take advertising. Because to do that, they might want to start cutting out their clearly left-wing biased programmes. When I was watching the general election, it was very obvious why it was so lean, prejudiced towards the Labour Party. They were terrified because they wanted to preserve the status quo. They were terrified of what could happen. Hopefully it's going to happen. You know, the Tories were in with a clear majority. Hopefully their next job is to clean up the BBC. Or put it into receivership. Or put it out, float it, make it public, like the Royal Mail. There's a thought. Then bring back Top Gear. But not the wages they were paying. Okay, I think I've said enough for today. I'll leave you with those thoughts.